Okay, thank you to everybody so much for coming. And Be'ezras Hashem, we're jumping into our series on Yichras Bodudos. We had the first shiur last week. And in last week's shiur, if you remember, whoever was here, whoever wasn't here, just catch you up very quickly, we gave a little bit of a broader overview on what we're trying to accomplish. We spoke about the experience of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our own words as being something that was an innovation. Rabbi Nachman's innovation, right? We spoke about this idea of Hashem always having been our king and our father, Avinu Malkeinu. And then as we get to the end of time, as we get moving into the Geula, so then we have to have a completely new relationship with Hashem. We have to begin to open up to a much deeper light, a light that's able in its power to reach the bottom of the pit, where us straggling Yidden at the finish line of history feel oftentimes so detached and so disconnected, so looking for something that can light up our experience. And the way that we said this approach to Hashem might look is in the aspect of Hashem being our very best friend, right? Our very best friend. And we said it's very important to present this in a nuanced way. Chas v'shalom, we don't mean to say that, okay, now Hashem is not our father, Hashem is not our king, and there's no aspect of Yiras Shamayim. We're going to speak about all of that, Be'ezras Hashem. Those aspects remain. But the opportunity to consider that there is a level of the relationship where Hashem is mamish our friend. And there are so many psukim, there are so many midrashim. Somebody posted on a YouTube video that I posted, the recording, someone said, can't be that Hashem is our friend, you know? So I listed, there's like 15 sources. Midrashim, psukim, Hashem says, Laman achai v'rei'ai. If you look in Rashi over there, Hashem calls us his friend. And then the same, I don't know who it was, a lady or a man. I had a feeling it was a lady, but I could be wrong. But it is a woman shir. So then she commented on Sunday, she deleted all the comments, and she said, well, I opened up my siddur, and it said, Yedid Nefesh. Yedid Nefesh means my soulmate, my best friend in the world. Yedid Nefesh. And so she said, you're right. I don't know what happened to the other 15 sources, but she needed to see it for herself. But L'man Achai V'Rei'ai, what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our friend. And we understand that all of these are Mishalim. Hashem is not a king, Hashem is not a father, Hashem is not a friend. All of these experiences of having a father, having a parent, having a king, and also having a friend are themselves the Mishalim, right? That they themselves only exist because of that, you know, preeminent and pinnacle of the human experience of having a father, an infinite father, having a king who's an infinite king, and also having a friend, which means an infinite friend. An infinite, infinite friend. And we're going to learn about that relationship as Ezras Hashem. So before jumping in, we want to dedicate today's shir as a schus for the Refuah Shalema of Yisrael Chaim ben Mindel. Be'ezras Hashem should have a speedy Refuah Shalema Bekarav Mamash. Be'ezras Hashem. So today we're jumping into the source sheets. We're actually starting the Sefer itself. Last week we learned a couple of sources from Rabbi Nachman that presented his Svodidus, this idea of talking to Hashem in our own words. And now we begin the actual Sefer in and of itself from Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger Shlita. He's a Rav in Ramat Beit Shemesh of a fairly large Breslover Kehillah, but he's very broad. So he draws on many different sources and he presents his Torah in a very unique and very eloquent and very deep and beautiful way. Okay, so let's begin this journey taking a look at the actual Sefer. What a privilege that we're Zocha to be among those who are Mevakshei Hashem, who are looking for a deeper connection to Hashem that can keep us afloat in the final generation. Says Rav Kluger, Siyata Deshmaya, Shevach v'hagdoya l'Hashem Yisbarach, Oyev Ami Yisrael. We have to give tremendous praise and thanks to Hashem who loves his nation, Am Yisrael. For this special sefer that I guess was just being printed, this is the hakdama to the original edition, in his great and endless mercy, on his treasured generation, on his treasured nation, in our generation, and the generations to come. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us and paving for us a derech chayim, thank you so much, Slula umi'ira, a clear path, asher yesh ba kedei l'sayeh l'chol ish mi'Yisrael ba'asher u'sham, that can help each and every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we're going through in life. Hamizboinin heite b'prakim elu, he says, a person who's going to focus and pay close attention to what we're learning in these chapters, it means the Sefer, Beratzon Taher Lekabel, and this is key, with a really pure desire to accept, to receive what it is that we're going to be learning together. Beratzon Taher Lekabel. Thank you so much for coming. I'm sorry, I'll have to take it one table back next time. Yeah, but there are certainly more chairs if you want to pull a chair around to this side or to that side. Beratzon Taher Lekabel, with an open heart, a pure heart, a heart that's looking to grow. Yiru eina v'sagal nafshay b'hisyashav alibay emuna pshuta b'hira v'yasaydes. Our eyes will be enlightened and our soul will rejoice as settling into our hearts we feel emuna pshuta, simple faith. Emuna pshuta doesn't mean simple. It's not simple at all. It's very deep to have emuna pshuta. What does it mean, emuna pshuta? It means something that's so simple in our understanding of it. Means it's clear, it's not complex, it's not complicated, mixed with many different parts. Emuna pshuta, or it's something that's clear to us. And that's why the next word that follows is behira. It's like illuminated, absolutely lucid is a word I like to use. Lucid, v'yesoidis, and founded, foundational. Asher tifal boi b'siyata d'shmai yashinu l'toiva. The main thing is not the learning. The main thing is that we want to change. Well, we don't want to change. No, that's not either a good word to use. We're never changing something fundamental. We don't have to be different than we already are, but we have to reveal who it is that we already are. It's a very different thing. So in education, we said we're going to speak about parenting, education. We shouldn't speak to our students, in my tiny, humble opinion, we shouldn't speak to our students in a way of saying, you know, you have so much potential. Ki'ilu, like right now they have nothing, and then they have to change or they have to become. No, you say you are so holy as you currently are, absolutely the holiest. And the most perfect and the most pure. And it's just there's a little dust on the surface, so let's clean it off. That's a completely different approach. And so when students hear this, a lot of times to be a Jew is full of pressure. Full of pressure. There's this thing even by the nations of the world, Jewish guilt. You know, psychology was originally a Jewish practice because the Jews deal with a lot of anxiety, and there's a very deep reason for that. Very, very deep reason for that. Because we have a lot to do in this world. We have a lot to do in this world. It would be very, very easy for us, right, to just shirk the obligation of perfecting the world with sakin oilam v'malchus shaka, you know, to rectify everything and to carry on living nice, cute little lives, you know, you have a small little cottage somewhere in the Cotswolds or something, and you live with, you know, two kids and a dog or a cat, and that's it. The Jews can't do that. We can't do that. We feel on a subconscious, sub-spiritual level, we have a mission in this world. So it can come with a lot of anxiety, especially for frum kids that are growing up in an educational system where there's so much that's required of them, so much that's demanded of them, that chas v'shalom, they can make the mistake of thinking that their entire worth depends on how much they do, how much they accomplish. And it's absolutely not true. It's mamish not true. So it's very, very important to stress as educators, parents, future parents, Be'ez Hashem, future mothers, very, very important to make this clear to your children, this paradigm where they already are. And it's just a matter of revealing, not changing, right? So we want to reveal, don't want to change. We want to reveal what it is that we have inside of us, who it is that we are. And so that's super key. Look back inside. Shinoi l'toiva. That there should be a transformation. Usakarvei l'Hashem. And not to get closer to Hashem, but to reveal that part of us that's bound up with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, like the Kruvim, or bound up one with the other all the time. All the time. You know, one of the most evocative midrashim that I've encountered is the midrash that describes the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the temple is in flames, and the Beis HaMikdash is crumbling, and the Kohanim, the Gemara in Tainis, describes them throwing the keys of the Beis HaMikdash up to Hashem and jumping off the roof. Crazy, crazy tragedies. We can't imagine what that moment was like. Be'ez Ras Hashem, it will only become clear how tragic it was when it becomes paralleled in the great joy of the rebuilding, Be'ez Ras Hashem B'karev. But in that moment, when Am Yisrael clearly seemed to have been behaving in such a way, echoes of which, Al Tiftach Pe LaSatan, I don't want to say what's going on, Nebuchadnezzar Yisrael, in certain places, the fighting has to stop. We learned nothing. It has to stop. It's so painful. It's mamish. I was like physically ill from this. So painful. So I'm talking about Yidden with Yidden. I'm not talking about everything else that's happening. Shem Yishmor. But in that moment when we would think that there was the ultimate disconnect between Am Yisrael and Hashem that caused the destruction of Hashem's house, Hashem says, we're a family, but we can't live together because there's such a distance. The Medrash says that with all the flaming bricks that were falling down from the top of the Beis HaMikdash and everything in flames and in destruction, and Am Yisrael being led out in chains to Bavel or to Rome, the Medrash says that the Kruvim, which we know reflected our relationship with Hashem, the male and the female, right? Hashem and Knesset Yisrael, the collective soul of the Jewish nation, they were intertwined, they were embracing. And the Medrash is explaining to us, if you look in the Mefarshim, that there's a place within that no matter what happens on the surface, maybe even specifically in that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fortifying within our minds and our hearts, we have a bond that's forever. That's forever, that's forever, that's forever. And so, Usakarvel Hashem doesn't mean we're becoming closer to Hashem than we currently are. It means we're revealing that place, manifesting that place. That's all that is, in the essence of what it means to be a Jew. Not to change reality, to reveal what's already there. To reveal what's already there within ourselves, within others, within the world. That the world should go from being a place that many people, most people, perceive as hiding Hashem. It should be a place that's seen as the greatest revelation of the divine. Nothing changes fundamentally. What changes is our perspective. So Shinui L'Toiva, a revelation, so that we can change on the externality of who we are. We become people who are full of life, full of vibrancy, full of clarity, full of perspective on our mission, both individually and collectively. U'sekarve l'Hashem, and here's maybe the most important part of all, mitoich simchas chayim amitis. Out of a place of really, just to put it in modern idiom, in our terms, of just enjoying life. Really enjoying life. Simchas chayim amitis. Va'ara pnimis. And this inner illumination, al hamoin matzvei nefesh, that no matter what we're going through, we should have clarity. What's my avoda now? What's my avoda in this moment? You know, before the Baal Shem Tov, which we spoke about last week a lot, what the Baal Shem Tov brought to the world. Before the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, people were under the illusion that serving Hashem was limited to certain emotional states, certain activities, certain physical places, whether it was the shul, whether it was the Beis Medrash, whether a person was feeling cheshek, you know, desire to serve Hashem, whether a person was like plugged in, turned on, they felt connected. And then all the other times it was like, okay, you know, we have to try to scurry back up the wall to like get back to that place where from that place we could serve Hashem properly. And what the Baal Shem Tov did was he revealed an approach to Yiddishkeit that said, there's no such thing. There is no such thing as a moment. There's no such thing as a spiritual state. There's no such thing as a physical place. There's no such thing as a time in your life where it's not an ample opportunity from that place, dafka, to reveal the way in which you can serve Hashem uniquely in this way, that if Hashem hadn't put you in this situation, even through our own free choice, which oftentimes we make the wrong choices, so we end up in a place where, we wish we weren't here. Okay, but you're here. There's work for you to do here. You're on a mission. The Jew is on a mission. This is, we have to change the way that we look at life. We're not here hanging out. Adam la'amal yulad. We're here to work. That doesn't have to be heavy and painful. It can be what a privilege. If we know what it is we have to work on, and we have the right gear, and we have the tools, so that's what we're trying to work on here in this year. But fundamentally, we're here to work, and that means that if that's true collectively, it's true individually. There is no circumstance in your life, not the most broken, painful, disconnected, numb experiences. Chas v'shalom, people experience the range of difficulties, challenges, obstacles, tragedy, chas v'shalom, rachmana litzlan, we should be spared from all of this. There's not a moment in your life that can't be utilized as a springboard for connecting to Hashem in a unique way. If we develop a healthy and broad perception of Hashem, which we said last week is the fundamental obstacle to getting close to Hashem, so we have no idea who He is and what He wants from our lives. So like, how are we supposed to build a relationship? And that's what the Sefer is going to be focused on fundamentally. But we have to recognize, and again, go back inside, al hamoyin matzvei ha-nefesh, on all of the different states of the soul and the stages of our journey throughout life. Kifishi ba me'oimek taras ha-pnimiyas v'achasidus, that flows forth from this very unique Beis Medrash. This gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish nation toward the end of time, the Torah of Pnimius. Remember we said in the beginning of last week's year, it has nothing to do with the outside this year. All ages, all backgrounds, all state, it makes no difference. It has to do with the Pnimius, the neshama, inside, who we really are inside. Neshamas. V'achasidus, and the Beis Medrash of the Baal Shem Tov, our Rabbeinu Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, Schus Yagnalenu, right, that Sharbit, right, that we said is Rosh HaTevis, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, that the Melech HaKadosh Baruch who sticks out to Esther and invites her into the Chatzar Ha, Pnimis, B'nachal Meveh HaMekor Chachma, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Maharinu Rabbi Nachman, Schus Yagnalenu. As it flowed forth from that final stop of the light of Mashiach, as it shone forth from that small little village, Uman city in Ukraine, until the end of time, like Rabbi Nachman said, Ha'esh Shali said, my fire will burn to God, Ad Bias HaMashiach, until Mashiach comes. This is it. He said, after me, there are no new souls. It's just this is the last light. And if you look at the four words, Nachal, Novea, Mekar Chachma, which means it's a pasuk, a flowing stream. Mekar Chachma, from the source of wisdom, is Rashi Tevos itself, Nachman. And that was what Rabbi Nachman said. He is hinted in the Torah in this pasuk. Nachal Novea Mekar Chachma is a flowing stream. From that place, Mekar Chachma, not getting to the Kabbalah of it, but it's a reference to a very, very lofty spiritual realm, the place of Keser. That, without getting into the depth of it, is associated with yearning. That's why Rabbi Nachman's Torah is full of yearning. Rabbi Nachman speaks to our dar, to a generation of have-nots, spiritually. The people who feel like they don't have, the people who feel like they're broken into a million pieces, the people to whom Rabbi Nachman needed to holler and howl and scream from his deathbed, close to the time that he left this world, then 280 or so years ago, Ein shum yish ba'olam klal. There is no despair in the world at all. He was speaking to us. He was speaking to us. Was there ever a generation that wanted to scroll through the news and just and go back to bed and give up? Is there any point? What's the point? What can we do against the whole world? When everything seems like it's falling apart. A time when Rabbi Nachman himself said in Sichas Aran that a simple Jew, just a simple Erlich Hayyid, which is all of us, people are trying their best to be connected, people who come to Shiurim to learn, will be as novel as the Baal Shem Tov himself. The Rebbe said at the end of time. And Rabbi Aaron HaGadol of Kalin said that at the end of time, holding on to faith in Hashem would be like trying to climb a wall of ice. That's our generation. So challenging today. The Klal Ubefrat. So Rabbi Nachman is speaking to us from that place of Mekar Chachma, which again, trust me on this, Kabbalistically is Keser, which is Ratzin. It's just yearning. And the Rebbe speaks about the importance of holy desire. We're going to learn a lot about all of this in the context of the Sefer. But everything that we're going to be learning really comes from Rabbi Nachman's revelation. He says, we're going to do our best to present everything that we're learning now in an easy and a very beautiful, his writing. It's not really his writing, actually. It's a student that took his shiurim and transcribed them. Such a talent. You're going to see very beautiful, poetic, but very accessible Lashon HaKodesh. Shava l'chol nefesh, something that's relevant to everybody. Olamat b'musagim amukim, we're not going to try to get into all the deep ideas, she'ein muvanim l'kol, that not everyone's able to understand. Kedeshia sefer bebechinas ner ishu beisai. So that this sefer should be an aspect, what we say about Hanukkah, we could always use a little bit of the light of Hanukkah, ner ish ubeisai, right? The Hanukkah candle is one candle per household. It's for everyone. At least that's the minimum shear, the minimum requirement of the mitzvah. But it's for everyone. V'yeusia kol ha'oroi, everybody's able to access its light, l'rabbeis b'nei ha'nu'urim ha'miyachlim la'Hashem, including the younger generation that miyachalim la'Hashem is hoping to, is yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Now we're going to get into some of the basic premises of what we're going to get out of the Sefer. Again, this is not the beginning of the Sefer as of yet. We're going to see. But this is the Hakdama, the introduction from Rav Kluger, what we can hope to gain out of our learning together, which will span Be'ezus Hashem many weeks and many months. And of course, we'll continue even after Mashiach comes in Yerushalayim, Bekar of Mamash. So you don't have to worry. We have plenty of time. We have eternity to get through the Sefer and many others. Says the Tzaddik, Nekudas HaMerkaz, the primary foundation of the Sefer Leida lahavin lahashiv ala leiv es oimek hahagdara kedaber ish al re'ehu, is to understand and to really bring in and allow to settle in our heart the depth of the madrega, or ha'agdara is really the parameters of what it means kedaber ish el re'ehu, to speak to Hashem, like we said, like a person speaks el re'ehu to their friend. Shemedubar al oimek hiskashros mashpia umekabel, that speaks about the depth of the bond between mashpia, the one who is giving, and mekabel, the one who is receiving, bepnimius libam, in the inner depth of the heart. K'maimar HaKosov, as the Pasuk tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu, panim al panim, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu face to face, kasher yedaber ish el re'ehu, another source, right, where Hashem came and revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu on the level of a friend, like a person speaking to his friend. Shezu derech hiskashrus bein Knesset Yisrael la'Hashem Yisbarach, which is the depth of the bond between Am Yisrael and Hashem, Ashakor ba'avas doidim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu again refers to us as his friends in Shir HaShirim, Achoisi says my sister, Rayasi, Yoinasi, Samasi, all these terminologies that refer to the friendship and the romantic relationship that, with a spousal and even deeper relationship that we have as being perpetually engaged with the Master of Heaven and Earth. Like the Pasuk says, Ve'erastich li La'olam. Doesn't say marry me forever. Hashem says we'll be engaged forever, which is maybe even deeper, because it's in the engagement phase of the relationship where the you know the bond is super strong and the passion and the love and we haven't settled down into Olam Hazeh yet. It's just pure heart, pure fire. Hashem says me and you have that bond. Ve'erastich li, we'll be on that level of being engaged to one another La'olam, forever and ever. Shas Hispoidedus, the hour of Hispoidedus, we said it doesn't have to specifically be an hour, but however much time we could give and devote, Hishas Hakeru Vahayichud Bein Yehudi Lekoinoi, is a period of time where we are secluded, we are alone, to become close to Hashem as individuals, so crucial in our generation also, to serve Hashem as individuals, that's the light of our generation. Today, everybody with social media, everybody with a phone is a big speaker already, and politician, and everybody's an influencer, right? That's all it takes. Everybody has a platform, right? There's something challenging about that and difficult, and there's also something very deep about that. Everything has two sides. There's two sides to every coin. It means in our generation, Hashem is inviting us to serve him as influencers, you know, as yichidim, with our own light and our own perspective and our own approach. Very, very important today, more than ever. And that's why, going back to education, that's why children who aren't given the space to reveal their own light, if they're in a quote-unquote system, I hate that word, but that's sometimes what it becomes, if they're in a system that expects them to be exactly like the next person and learn exactly the same thing that the next person's learning and serve Hashem in the same way that everyone else is serving them, not to talk about looking on the outside like everyone else and so on and so forth, It's very hard for today's neshama to feel connected to Hashem in a healthy way when they're not doing so from a place of individuality. So it's crucial as parents and as educators, future parents, mothers of Am Yisrael, so important that you guys are learning this stuff. It's so crucial. Who else is going to, not the husbands, it's the mothers, Torah Simecha. That's the Torah of the heart. It's crucial that women are learning today. Crucial. Not Gemara per se, but this kind of Torah. Crucial, crucial, crucial. So as mothers, Be'ezras Hashem, you'll remember, and as current mothers, we're going to give our children that confidence to be themselves, to serve Hashem with their own. We're going to learn Nekudas Atzmai, their own unique aspect that Rabbi Nachman tells us, as we're going to learn in Torah and Dalet, no Jew from the beginning of time to the present ever had, and no Jew from the present until the end of time ever will. They're their own unique Nekuda. So we serve Hashem in Hispoidus, that was Rabbi Nachman's light, as Yechidim. It's not with a minion and it's not with a whole group of people. You go alone by yourself. As a Yachid, as an individual. And that hour, Hame'ir al-Sha'ar Sha'oy Sachaim, it illuminates all other hours of your life. And not just in this world, your life will be illuminated from devoting that period of time, whether it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half hour, certainly an hour, maybe more. But for all eternity, after Mashiach comes, also you're going to benefit from this. As Rabbi Nachman said, and for all eternity. And it is the opening to bring a person to open up the gates of love and yira. We never translate as fear, as awe. Yira, to be aware, to be totally overwhelmed, to be in awe of the master of the world. And here's the most important thing, and all of us are trying on our madrigas. Never ever give up. Never give up. Everybody has challenges, but you're on the journey. Lelechas bedrachav. To try to walk in his ways, and to try to heed his voice as best as we can in a healthy way. Ella, but in order to do this properly, we first have to understand, what does it mean, yichud? What does that mean, intimacy? What does it mean to have a real bond with another person? This is something else that in our generation, we've lost this art. Today we're, so to speak, more connected than ever, but everybody knows the connections that we have today are quantitative connections. So yeah, today on my WhatsApp, I can scroll through people. Like I scroll through, you know, like just a whole list of like irrelevant things. Like these are human beings I'm scrolling through. You know, we kick people off of WhatsApp chats. It's like in real life, you picked them up and you threw them out the room. Like we don't think of people as people anymore. So quantitatively, we have tons of connections, and I can be up 24/7, and I can be connected to people all around the world. But what did we lose? What did we lose? The lost Princess Chevra. We have the quantity. We lost the quality. The quality of our relationships. A real kesher. What that means, to really have one real friendship. Just one. One real friendship. If it could be with your spouse, mataiva manai. But one real friendship. We have to learn what that means. We have to train ourselves to understand the dynamic of a kesher. And again, bringing that back into the realm of serving Hashem, if we no longer know how to have real relationships with other people, how are we supposed to have a real relationship with Hashem? So we speak about the words, but we don't know what it is. We have to learn about what this means. Mazek kesher bechlal. What does it mean to have a connection, a bond? Ubefrat, and more specifically, yeish lahavin, we have to learn Ketzad lichyais, how to live in such a way that kach bepoil bespoidedus bechol yaim, that our hispoidedus, our experience of personal prayer each day, is able to reflect this relationship. And that's a challenge, because every day is different than the day before it. Every and today, the Piasetzner Rebbe says, and he said this in a little bit before World War II, he was murdered, Rachmana Litzlan, in the camps. Shem Yikom Damai. So the Heilige Esh Kodesh writes in his Sefer, Levit is Shloisha Mamarim, that printed at the end of Chavis HaTalmidim, I think, or Achshar Sevreichim, either of those Svarim, the Tzaddik writes that if a person would record all of the different ups and downs of the gentle, dynamic soul, who's so delicate and is so impacted. Another thing we should keep in mind, I was reminding myself this morning, we consume so much media in one way or another, we forget that we have very delicate neshamas. We can't take in, because I was feeling a little bit down earlier today, and I was thinking about why. I've been like very, very following the news, and I'm reminding myself, like, do you really think you can take in those images and that your neshama shouldn't react? Like, our neshamas are so delicate, and we have to be so careful. We have to be so, so careful, right, with all of what we're taking in. It impacts us. It mamish impacts us. Really, we weren't designed as human beings, for sure not as Yidden. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So just a reminder that the neshama is so delicate. So the Piasetzner says that if our neshamas, if we were to record the ups and downs and the yearning and the despair and the finding the courage to start again and all the different what's called aliyas and yiridas, the risings and the fallings of our neshama, just from one day alone, said the tzaddik, he said it could fill a thick book just from one day what our neshama goes through. And now, in 2024, where if you remember that all of creation is going to be split into like a weekday, seven millennia, where each day is 1,000 years. So right now we are in Erev Shabbos, Mamish. It's very important to know where we are in history. We're not living, you know, in the same way that the Ramchal was living Yiddishkeit. It's not. We are currently now, that was a bad example because that was also in the beginning of Friday. But I'm saying earlier in generations, like we are be'ikvisa the Mashiach. And the Zohar Kaddish said that just like Erev Shabbos in a person's household, everything speeds up and everybody's in a rush like to get all the last things done last minute and make sure that the blech is there and you know and the timers are set and this Shabbos lamp is turned on, that everybody's busy running around the house the last minute. Says the Zohar Kaddish, in the Elef HaShishi, in this last millennia, which we're about halfway through, or after Chatzos already, maybe the Baal Shem Tov wanted to bring an early Shabbos, very deep, very deep. He wanted to help us start to taste that aura of the light of Mashiach. The Zohar Kaddish says everything will speed up. Everything will speed up. You look at what's happening, we said, since the Industrial Revolution, around the time of the Baal Shem Tov, which began, how things are speeding up. It's beyond belief. You cannot keep up anymore. It's past us. It's beyond us. We're not even ahead of the curve anymore. Like I mentioned, we don't even have hardware to keep up with the ingenuity of the software that we've produced. It's beyond. So, it's frenetic today. Frenetic living. Frenetic. Everything is so rushed, and you get a sense that things are winding down. And I like to say things are winding up. You get a sense, even in the nations of the world, people get a sense, like we're waiting for something to happen, we don't quite know what. Am Yisrael knows what, we're coming to the end. We are coming to the end, and we have to be a part of it. We have to be a part of it. It's okay, I can pick up whatever it is. We are a part of it. And so we have to be aware, Sha'arei Yesh B'chaye Yehudi, in the life of a Jew, that are kol mine matzavim, that are all different states. Certainly, like I said, from one day to the next, but within the span of one day, and I would say within the span of 1 hour, how things could shift to an emotionally intelligent, to an awake person, it's not easy. Oylim v'yardim. There are aliyas, there are progressions v'yardim, and there are descents. Kechal asher yachbetz Hashem yizbarach mimenu. But we always have to know, whatever it is that Hashem is sending us into, He wants something from us there. We're not always ready. We're not always spiritually connected. A person comes home from a long day at work or a long day with the kids. A person's not in that place ready for a spiritual experience, you know? Not always. Not always. Sevyalkach, therefore, ba sefer anoichichi. Here comes this very, very special, very unique sefer. To bring close to our heart, in very beautiful and very clear terms, this concept of the intimacy of Espodidos, personal prayer, Asher Gila Veher Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that Rabbi Nachman revealed and illuminated in the world, Kifi Shu Meir Uba Begvane HaChayim, as it manifests through the manifold reflections of all the different colors, like a prism, as it reflects through the many different colors of life. And some of those colors are good times, some of those colors are difficult times, some of those colors are times where you're feeling a desire to connect, sometimes are feeling we're disconnected. You know, with smachot and good tidings, and chas v'shalom, the opposite. Yedubor, we're going to speak in the Sefer al matzavim shoyinim b'espoidados. We're going to speak about all different kinds of espoidados. Gadlos, we're going to speak about times where we're living in an expanded state of consciousness. We're also going to speak about times of katnos. That was one of the other reasons that Rabbi Nachman was so relatable as a Hasidic master and as a tzaddik, because he spoke about these states. He spoke about like really what it means to be a human being. It wasn't just ideal states where you open a sefer and sometimes you can't connect to it. Rabbi Nachman himself always was open about his own struggles and challenges. Again, on his own level, it's difficult to know exactly what he was struggling with. That's for every person to decide how they want to approach it. But more than anybody else that I can think of, Rabbi Nachman made it clear he was a human being. Wasn't created perfect. He said, don't think that I have my madrigas because, I was a great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov and I have a big high soul because I came from tzaddikim. He said, I fought for every inch of spiritual growth that I gained. And he spoke about how many times in one day he would fall and he would pick himself back up. And, you know, it was all very human, very, very human. And that's why our generation, which is a generation that's seeking authenticity, we don't want speeches anymore. We want the real thing, the real thing. We're a very high generation, very, very lofty generation. We're not just by the books anymore. We want to live it for real, mamish for real. So Rabbi Nachman speaks to that. And if we're going to serve Hashem for real, then we have to be honest about how, as much as we like in our community, and Baruch Hashem, this is getting better, that on the surface everything looks perfect, right? The truth is, all of us struggle. All of us struggle. There's not one person in this room that doesn't struggle. I struggle, you struggle, we all struggle. In our own unique ways, there are times when we feel, again, confident and so on, and there are times that we don't. I could speak for myself. I struggle heavily with all this stuff. And that's fine, because I'm not an angel. Nor was I intended to be, nor are any of us intended to be. We are intended to be humans. To be a human means that we're going to have our days and we're going to have our nights. We're going to have our summers and have our winters. We're of this world, afar min adama, infused with a soul that is much loftier than the malachim. And so we're borrowed. We're a mixture of fire and water. Umafli lasis, the Torah says. That's the pele. That's the wonder that we reference when we make the bracha of Asher Yatzar. We're a wonder. Because how could it be that these two things exist at once? But they do exist at once. They do. We have a little bit of Adam Rishon and Chava. We have a little bit of the snake. We're a composite of all of this. And so if we're looking for a Torah of authenticity, we're going to need a Torah that speaks to those times when we're struggling. That's fine. And, if we can, that's the most incredible thing, not just a Torah that speaks to the times when we're struggling, but a Torah that helps us reframe the struggles in such a way that we realize this is not better or worse. This is a brand new arena of serving Hashem. It's a lichatchila. It's a lichatchila. This is what Hashem is pushing us into these places. Dafka, as the Pasuk says, one of my favorite psukim of all, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Tashev Enosh Ad Daka. Hashem pushes a person to a state of Daka, which means lowliness. But if you look in the Gemara, it says, Ad Dichducha Shal Nefesh. What does Dichducha Shal Nefesh mean? Into despair, into depression, into feeling crushed on a spiritual level. Pasuk, Hashem Tashev Enosh Ad Daka. Hashem drags us through the mud. And who among us haven't been in one way or another in this dark with the doubts and the difficulties and the pain and the feeling overwhelmed and etc. dragged into the mud? And what are the next three words in the Pasuk? Four words. Vatoimer, then Hashem says, Shuvu b'nei Adam. Now from there, I want you to connect to me. From there, I want you to return. It's Hashem himself who pushes us into those places. And it's not a b'di'eved. It just is. For those who are connected to the book, The Lost Princess, we speak about deserts, fields, and forests, right? That's one of the things that we're learning with the Hasma girls, right? What does it mean? It means there's no better, there's no worse. It's just different. Sometimes you're in a desert, and there's one avoda. Sometimes you're in a forest. Everything is growing. Everything is teeming with growth and success. There's an avoda there, too. So we have to get out of this binary, black and white way of thinking in this generation. We have to reframe everything. You always just are. Wherever you are, from that place you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that you need to, be serving Him now. And that was Rabbi Nachman. Kifishu meir uba b'gvanei achayim. So you do b'al mantzavim shoyinim esvodudus. We're going to speak about all different kinds of states in serving Hashem. In esvodudus, gadlus, states of being connected v'gam matzvei katnus. Hamatsuyim l'rayiv, let's be honest, right? Matzei katnos, times of constricted consciousness, hamatsuyim l'rayiv, which is like most of the way that we spend our time. Asha yesh lahem es espodidus hamiyuchedes, where there, in those moments, there's a unique kind of espodidus. Hamiyuchedes lahem, besvas hayucha, that has a unique terminology, as it were, a unique way of connecting. A unique way of connecting. Shehi esnoititus, that in those moments, there is the great light of Mashiach that is shining in our generation. Mashiach doesn't come for the perfect. Mashiach comes for those who are struggling, but found the strength within their hearts and souls never ever to give up. And that's why Mashiach's whole persona is very humble. Ani rochev al chamar. But don't imagine a great king coming, you know, riding on this white stallion and wearing a crown and dressed in his royal garments. No. Ani Reichev Al-Khamar. Just a pauper riding on a donkey. Very, very humble. It's a symbol. Doesn't mean an actual pauper riding on a donkey. Simple. A very, very simple person. And you should know that there's a medrash. I'm not sure now whether it's a Yalkut Shemani or a Tanit Belio, but there is a medrash that I saw posted recently where when Mashiach comes, people are gonna come to Hashem and say to Hashem, this and you're gonna use this word, this Meshugana? You sent us this crazy person? This nutcase you sent us to lead us? And Hashem says, you think he's a Meshuga? Now I'll reveal his light for everybody to see. Very powerful stuff. I mean, this is not how we ordinarily think of what Mashiach is going to be. Ani roi chelachamar, the light of humility. Just like David HaMelech, where the Psukim describe, David HaMelech wasn't paraded around by the most prestigious people. He was surrounded by all the schleppers, all the stragglers. That's who David HaMelech hung out with. All the homeless people, all the people who had nothing. David HaMelech knew they have a special light. There's the light of not having. There's the light of yearning. That's the light of Rabbi Nachman. That's the light of our dar. It's the light of humility. The Breslov was never about fancy. They never had money, first of all, ever. But they never had fancy kalim, big irgunim and organizations. Just very, very humble, very humble, very simple people. The light of simplicity. The light of an open heart, the light that we spoke last week, Breslov is Isaiah, we said, Lev Basar, the light of having a heart of flesh, a heart that's really alive, a heart that's still in the game, a heart that really feels authentically, sincerely, a heart that doesn't want to give up. That's Irish al Mashiach. And that's why David HaMelech himself, who is the light of Mashiach, David Malko Mashiach, describes this light when he says, Evan Ma'asu Habaynim. It will turn out to have been the stone that was despised by all the builders. The stone that they thought they could do nothing with. All the kids that are thrown out into the streets. All the kids that don't seem to be fitting with the system. They're the best we have. They're the best we have, I'm telling you now. Any parents out there? And any kids out there? There is a great light shining in the souls of those individuals that are looking to be individuals and don't want a cookie cutter Yiddishkeit. They want a real relationship with Hashem. In a certain way, their light is very, very, very great. All the schleppers and all of those of us who feel, sometimes myself included, like a little bit of a schlepper. Ultimately, that Evan Ma'asu Aboinim, that stone that was despised by the builders, that on the outside doesn't look impressive and the outside doesn't look like it has every madrega. David HaMelech says, That stone's going to become the crowning jewel of the third Beis HaMikdash. Collectively, that's our generation. Everybody wonders what the previous daras, the Arizal and the Heilige Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu, all the early daras, the Ben Ishchai, and just to be safe, and the Vilna Gaon across the spectrum, all the great tzaddikim. Mashiach didn't come for them. Mashiach should come for me. So in a certain way, the classical explanation is the midget, standing on the shoulder of the giants, right? Or like Rabbi Nachman says, after all the previous generations have used all their artillery, so to speak, on the wall, at the end all you need is a couple little children to go and just push the wall down, and that's the work has already been done. It's much deeper than this. It's much deeper. It's different. It's different. Because, sure, what they had, we don't have. But you know something else? What we have, they didn't have. I know it sounds like a radical, crazy thing to say. It's true. What they had, we don't have. But make no mistake about it. And it's not because we're grand and we're impressive and we've accomplished so much. We haven't. But specifically because of all of our challenges, and our refusal to give up, where the yearning is so there, and after everything that we've been through and everything that we're going through, we're still holding on in whatever way that we could still hold on, including being here tonight. We have what they couldn't have had. And that's the most precious to Hashem. Because like we said last time, what does Hashem want more than anything? Rachmana liba boy. Hashem wants you. Hashem wants you. It's not about what you can do for him, and we all try our best. Hashem wants an authentic relationship. That's what the Baal Shem Tov's light is. That's what Rabbi Nachman's light is. That's the light of Espodidus. So that's again, she is snoitutus oire shel Mashiach. That is the light of Mashiach. Lachem, therefore, oiskim amamarim, loirach b'shas yichud nalus amaraimimus. As we're going to see, I think we'll finish with this paragraph. As we're going to see, Be'ezus Hashem, when we begin with the Sefer, that the Sefer is not just going to speak about times of elevation and, you know, and nalus amaraimimus and very lofty, elevated experiences. We're going to speak about every conceivable kind of emotional state, v'chayim, in every life circumstance, which you need to bring into your espodidus. Yes, you need to bring it into your espodidus, just like you would with a best friend. You don't only speak to a best friend when things are going well, and then the other days would pretend like they don't exist. On the contrary, we need them the most when we're struggling. That's the kind of relationship with Hashem that we're trying to build. We're trying to activate that level and that element of our connection to Hashem. Kegoin, some of the things we're going to speak about. Hamtana, patience. What it means when we need to activate patience in our service of Hashem. Ve'emunah, and faith. Zaka, when we're screaming out with sar, when we feel pain. Anacha v'charata, when we're feeling guilt, when we're feeling regret, and when we're sighing. We wish that things would have been different. Yisurei nefesh v'argashas richuk. Sometimes we feel an emotional pain. V'argashas richuk, and a feeling of being pushed away, whether by Hashem, whether by others. Ke'ev, when we feel pain, either physical pain or otherwise. V'dema, when we feel like we need to cry. Bakoshas Yeshua, when we want to ask for Hashem to grant us salvation. V'cheshben ha'nefesh, and when it comes time to make an accounting of where we're holding in life. Tshuva, we're going to speak about all of this. Tshuva, a time of returning to Hashem. Or when we need comfort, when we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us an embrace. Seichel, oitmimus. Sometimes we're going to talk about how to serve Hashem in Espodidus with seichel, with intellect. Oitmimus, or very, very simply, shegam elu migvanei ha'yichud. These are also shades of that incredible spectrum of color that is the color of an authentic, vibrant, intimate relationship with the infinite. Bechinas, an aspect of the pasuk at Tehillim, what David HaMelech says, and I'll just, he doesn't bring the first part of the pasuk, but I'll tell you because Rabbi Nachman quotes it in his very, very crucial lesson, Torah Vav, the sixth lesson of the Likutei Maran, what it means to serve Hashem in all periods of time, no matter what we're going through. Is the beginning of the pasuk is im esak shamayim shamata. If a person is climbing the ladder of serving Hashem, and a person is succeeding, and a person is growing, a person needs to say im esak shamayim. Even though I rise to the heavens, shamata, you're still beyond. There's more to grow, and in that place we have to ask Hashem help that I shouldn't be stagnant. I shouldn't suffice with where I'm at. I want to grow. I want to move beyond. And then the end of that pasuk, the second part of the pasuk, he quotes over here, just so powerful. And it's everything that we've been speaking about in terms of Avodas Hashem spanning every aspect of life. Va'atziya sha'ol, that even when I sink down into the depths of hell, hineka, you're here. I need to know that you're with me. In those moments, Hashem, I need you in a different way. Just like we need our friends in different ways at different times. Sometimes you need your friend to look you in the face and tell you, not cool. We have to do better. And a person, again, to encourage you to grow sometimes. And then sometimes you need a friend to just be there for you. Not even to say anything. Just to be there for you. To care for you. We're going to learn all about this in the dynamic of a real friendship. So it will help interpersonally, but that's just a side thing. But certainly when it comes to our relationship with Hashem, K'moy Kein Yidubar, so it is when we speak about Al-Kashim Shoyne Mechayes Bodudos, all the difficulties in serving Hashem with His Bodudos. We're going to speak about the challenges to actually doing this and what those might be. L'ha'ir es kol eilu v'ara yichud, to illuminate all of these different facets and aspects of the human experience with the light of an intimate connection to Hashem. Behistaklus shel geula, from a perspective of redemption. Behistaklus shel geula, what does it mean? Through the lens of the geula, which is the light of the Baal Shem Tov, who is revealing to us a way of experiencing Yiddishkeit. We have to shake and arise from the dust of exile, and we begin to rise up, kumi oiri, begin to rise up and shine with the light of the geula, Be'ezus Hashem. So, it seems like it's going to be another couple of shiurim before we actually start the sefer, but hopefully we're laying very important groundwork for a lot of the concepts that we're going to discover. And so I hope that it's okay that we're taking a little bit more time. We're moving through it step by step. So, Ashreinu. Now we're going to open the floor for any questions, any comments, anything that anybody wants to share. Unfortunately, we have to keep it just for those in person, but we want to thank everybody for joining the Zoom. Thank you for being here. And to everyone who's going to be watching the video, thank you so much for being a part of it. Okay, anybody would like to ask? We have a whole sefer to learn. But I'll tell you very, very basically, most of even the reality that we could sense, meaning that we could touch, that we could feel, that we could hear, that we could see, circumstances, experiences, a large percentage of our experience of those things are dependent on our perspective. It's a very, very big secret that people learn eventually, hopefully. But subjectively, the way that we experience things is really, really, really how we actually think they happened, right? And I learned this lesson. I still need to learn this lesson much more. But it so often happens that someone will say something and I'll think, oh, this is what they meant and they came from this place and this is what they... And the truth is completely different, right? But our minds, we interpret things. And so certainly when it comes to Hashem, who can only be sensed in the mind and in the heart, which is the two headquarters of human functionality, meaning to say, otherwise all of what we sense is physical. Our hands feel, our nose smells, something that physically you can point to. Our eyes see that which is there, and our ears hear something physical. So what about Hashem? Like, how do we have any hope of connecting to Hashem? It's an important idea. I'm very happy that you brought this up. How do we connect to Hashem at all? And so the answer is, well, what else is there in the human experience that you know is real, but that you can't touch and sense and smell and so on and so forth? And the answer is thoughts, which are very real, but can't be touched and can't be felt, and feelings. So there's our mind and there's our heart. And these two senses, if you will, are receptive to that which is beyond. And that's why the Pasuk says, V'yadata hayom, you should know today, thinking, V'ashivosa elovavacha ki Hashem olikim, because there's no other way of getting there other than using our thinking, which is non-tangible. So memela, it's able to receive and to perceive that which is not tangible, and our heart, which is non-tangible feeling, through which we can sense, we can feel that which can't be. But it all depends on how we perceive Him, it, that which is beyond the infinite. It all depends on learning healthy perspectives for our generation, which is what the whole sefer is going to be about, in order for us to be able to interpret who He is, what He wants, what it feels like to talk to Him, etc., etc., etc. And we're going to learn all of this in the sefer.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, fundamentally, I would ask on a more collective level, why did Hashem need our neshamas to come into this realm at all? That's a huge yirida, right? Just on a collective level, even for the big tzaddikim, their souls would have been much happier, by the kisei hakavod, without having to come down here. So it really relates to that whole question, which fundamentally, the real answer is, I don't know. And not just I don't know personally, no one knows, right? I mean, the real answer is, we haven't the foggiest. Hashem is infinite. We just know what is. The fact is that we're here, and presumably, if He's such a calculated being that every single aspect of the world is so calculated, presumably He's a meaningful being, and there must be some purpose that we're here, and He gave us the Torah, and we can figure out what it is that we give Him. We don't know. One of the things that He reveals about what we give Him, being alive, is revealing His presence even in the lowest conceivable realms of existence. Because that's what infinity means. Infinity means you're really infinite, you have to be present even in finitude. You have to be present even in the dark. If you're such a great light, you need to be revealed everywhere. It's a very, very beautiful way of looking at it. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is shining in terms of its potency and therefore in terms of its reach to the degree that you and I are beacons or are lenses for that light. The more that we, like I like to say, pull up the window shade on the window of our hearts, the more Hashem's light is shining into a new vista, into a new arena. And so if that's true about all of this worldliness, which is described in the Medrash Tanchuma, as Hashem wanting, desiring, nis'av leila kodesh baruch hu, Hashem yearned liyos lei to have what's called dira b'tachtonim, a dwelling place in the lower realms, that even in physicality, even here, we reveal ein oid malvada, there's nothing but divinity. And we do that through mitzvahs, and we do that through Shabbos, and we do that through serving as a channel for midos tovos in every way. So then, within that dira b'tachtonim, and this is the secret of our generation, we have to make those last tikkunim, those last revelations of God's presence in the bottom of the bottom, in the depth of the depth, at the bottom of the pit, like that you cannot imagine anything beyond that. That's what our dar is going through. And so experiences of trauma, experiences of abuse in ways that today maybe on a cultural level for one reason or another might impact us maybe even more than they did in previous generations. Maybe these things weren't as understood. Maybe they were pushed under the rug. Maybe people didn't even have the chance like we do today to really work through things like we do. And the pain is so excruciating, right? So what a privilege that we're exactly each and every one of us, and Hashem should spare us, but all of us have been through whatever we've been through. We are exactly where we need to be Hashem's little missionaries in a way. You know, we're on a mission. We're His soldiers sent into those places, dafka, not to be perfect servants of God there because we're constricted by our challenges, but to yearn for Hashem there, to do what we can from that place. You're revealing Hashem in a way that the Vilna Gaon, that the Baal Shem HaKadosh, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai never could. You know, so the fundamental answer to the question, I can't say. But I know that it's connected with the secret of why our souls came down into this world in the first place, and our generation is being pushed into the bottom of that pit for the purpose of revealing the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion. And when we exhibit that, because we change our way of thinking about Hashem so that we can actually live in such a way where no matter what you go through, you have this bond with Hashem, that reveals in this world and in all the spiritual realms the deepest revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, which is the revelation of the way in which He's our friend. The revelation of which our neshama could relate to Him on an equal, so to speak, level. And that's the deepest gilui there is. And from that perspective, ein oid malvadai. Not there's no God other than Him. There is quite literally nothing but Him. There is nowhere but Him. Because previously I would think when things are going well, that's Hashem. And maybe there's other realms where now I had a yirida, now Hashem's not here. No. Our task, the final dar before Mashiach's coming, lifting all the sparks in Kabbalistic terminology, rectifying everything, is to go into all the darkest places. You don't need to look for it. It'll happen, right? It'll happen. We try our best, but we get pushed. We slip. We fall. And if we can have the consciousness of the Baal Shem Tov, which is the consciousness of the light of Mashiach, the consciousness of Rabbi Nachman, to know this lesson of never giving up, that's the depth of that secret. Why should you never give up? Because this is part of the plan. This is part of the mission. You are mamish doing God's work in a way that I'll repeat again. What they had in previous generations, we don't have. But what we have, they didn't have. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu. What a privilege that Hashem trusted us with this mission. Okay, so I think we'll call it a night for now. Thank you so much for joining. And Be'ezus Hashem, I will continue next week. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you.